This is an OSV Podcasts production. To learn more about OSV Podcast Network, visit osvpodcasts.com.
Icon Ministry presents the Catholic Influencers Podcast. Join me, Alyssa Aegis, and my co-hosts,
Father Rob Gallia,
Justine Hughes,
and Augie Angersano,
as we break open the Sunday Mass readings and explore relevant topics and life issues from a Catholic perspective. For a shorter and more reflective explanation of the Gospels, be sure to check out our sister podcast, Catholic Influencers, Father Rob Gallia Homilies.
Welcome to the Catholic Influencers Podcast. We are always excited and blessed to be able to share the gospel message with you. Today, we get to explore the Word of God, to go deep into the gospel, and also to have an incredible interview with Jess, a friend of ours, who's going to explain what it means to serve others. There's so much going on in this episode, and we're excited by a number of things that have been happening here in Icon Ministry. So one of the things that we have that is coming up is we're going to get to travel together, hopefully all of us. It depends. Yeah. But we're going on pilgrimage. What is a pilgrimage? Anyone know what a pilgrimage is?
Testing.
I don't know if I know the right technical answer, but it's when you travel to a certain place for the purpose of deepening your faith. Correct?
So it's you're pilgriming. Yeah, that's right. You're taking a journey, a spiritual journey towards something. Every Mass we go to is a pilgrimage towards Calvary. Mm-hmm. But every now and then, and this has been the tradition of the Church for many, many, many years, that they ask us to pilgrim towards holy places to receive particular graces, but most of all, to immerse ourselves into the life of the Scriptures, for example, like going to the Holy Land and going to Lourdes and incredible places. So have you guys ever been on a pilgrimage?
I've been on quite a few pilgrimages.
Ooh, a few.
Yes. But I'll talk about one that was quite impactful. In 2019, my parish priest at the time invited me on a pilgrimage to sing, primarily. It was a four-week trip, 2 weeks in the Holy Land and then 2 weeks in Europe. So we went to places like Lourdes, Fatima, Italy, Spain. It was...
Wow.
I think Father Rob described it as the pilgrimage on steroids at the time, yes. Which it was. And my priest at the time was saying, this is going to set you up for life, Alyssa. And I can honestly say that it did, like those graces, I still remember that. And it's played a very big role in my faith, for sure.
And I do remember, even you, when you came back from that pilgrimage, so much changed. Like so much of, you had the clarity in your mind that you knew from that point. That's what I think was the point in your life where you thought, that's it. I'm sold out for Jesus. I'm going to belong to him.
For sure. And the best part was I went with 40 other people and they were all more than twice my age.
Love it.
And no one knew that I could sing or that I performed. Like, I just felt like I could be myself, and I still talk with those non-knee today. Like, I love them. Yeah.
But also frustrating moments, I suppose, on pilgrimage.
I'm sure, yeah.
How about yourself, Justine?
Probably wasn't as exciting in some senses as Alyssa's, but... first ever pilgrimage I went on was actually to Sydney, which is a one-hour flight.
pilgrimage.
Which may have even driven, I can't remember, but for World Youth Day.
Yeah,
and so that was my first ever experience of seeing the Church in all of its bigness. Like, I'd grown up in a Catholic family, done that kind of deal, but to see that there are other people, that there are hundreds and thousands of other people who are on their journey of faith within the Catholic Church, that to me, ironically, sort of helped me to find my place in the bigger picture. So I am not alone. And I think pilgrimage is really cool when because you travel with a group of people that perhaps you don't know, and you realize you are not alone, that whilst you live out your faith, you are always a part of this global church.
And a pilgrimage is different to a holiday because it's not a holiday. It's actually like a retreat. It's a time where there are special graces and there are special gifts that are given to us as we journey generously towards these sacred places. For me, I went to Lourdes. That was my first pilgrimage. And then we went to Holy Land as Icon Ministry a few... just how long ago was that?
Almost 2 years ago.
2 years ago. So, but these were also life-changing moments for me. And there were moments that were grace-filled, and then there were moments that were pretty ordinary. And I think that, again, that's part of what pilgrimage is. But it is always a life-changing experience. And we want to offer our listeners also this life-changing experience. We, as Icon Ministry, are going on pilgrimage. We're going to Greece. Where else?
Italy.
So to Bella Roma.
And to Malta.
And to Malta. So my home country as well. So, and the reason why we're visiting these places is because we're doing the journey of St. Paul. Now, we're going to go to Corinth, to Thessalonica, to these places that Paul went through and wrote his letters to the Romans, etc. And then also the place where in Acts chapter 28, he was shipwrecked on the island of Malta. So we get to experience these beautiful, beautiful countries and go to these places together as an Icon Ministry community from all around the world. So whether you live in the United States, you live in Africa, Asia, you can all join for this pilgrimage. Wow. And if you want to know more about this, where can they go?
You can go to the website iconministry.com/pilgrimage.
Icon Ministry wants to reach out to the Alpha Generation. Introducing MetaSaint, a revolutionary project where the hope and love of Christ meet the metaverse generation. Did you know that the Roblox platform transcends mere gaming? It's a bustling digital universe with over 70 million users a day. This is an incredible opportunity to share the gospel with young people. Do your children or grandchildren play Roblox? Tell them to start playing MetaSaint, where they will have an interactive experience of the gospel like never before. As we pioneer this exciting new frontier of connection and community, we invite you to help us in this groundbreaking mission, our biggest project yet, to ensure the digital spaces can become a place where all can encounter the transformative power of Christ. Together, let's bring the gospel to the metaverse. Visit metasaint.com to learn more.
So as we gather back, we open our hearts to receive what God wants to give us. We pray, we ask the Lord to speak, we give God permission to work in our hearts and our lives. And so let's just gather our hearts and be generous with God as we listen, as we pray.
Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, I just really want to thank you for anyone who is tuning in. I thank you, God, that they've carved out the time for this. And I pray, Lord, that wherever they are, they would have an experience of you being close to them, that whatever they hear today would continue in a conversation that they have with you, a conversation with you that grows their intimacy and closeness with you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. So we're preparing for Good Shepherd Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter. And this week's gospel passage comes from John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. the good, the bad, the ugly. The shepherds. Jesus defines the shepherds. Jesus calls shepherds. He always calls shepherds. And this is the nature of Jesus, that he will always, always call shepherds. But some shepherds come for the wrong reasons. Some come for the right reasons and stay in the right reasons. Some come for the right reasons and then somehow get corrupted throughout. But no matter what we have experienced in our own lives. And it's so easy to judge, you know, even when we think about the good, the bad shepherds, we think about priests, we think about nuns, we think about bishops. But what about us? You know, each and every one of us, we're all shepherds. We're all called to shepherd our family. We're all called to lead people to Christ, our spouses to Christ. And this is us. This is us, that we are the good shepherd. Sometimes we're in it because we want things out of it. And then there are moments where we are the shepherds who generously lay down our lives for others. We move in and out of being good shepherds and bad shepherds. But also how important it is for us to assess our hearts. Say, God, search me, know my evil ways, and make sure that my heart is right with you.
Absolutely. And I think if we explore the behavior of the good shepherd and the behavior of the hired man in this passage, this might actually help us to do that, to assess our hearts and see how it is that we're showing up as leaders in the different areas of our life. So we read in this passage that the good shepherd, he knows his sheep intimately. He knows them by name to the point where he would lay down his life for them. Whereas the hired man is mainly only concerned with making money. He doesn't really care for the sheep. He's only just concerned about what's in it for him. And we see this difference in behavior play out really clearly when that wolf comes to attack the sheep. What happens? So the good shepherd, he demonstrates courage. He demonstrates selflessness because he lays down his life for his sheep. Whereas the hired man, he abandons the sheep. He runs away, again, because he's only concerned about what's in it for him, right? And what happens when he runs away? Those sheep scatter. So again, I think this passage just shows us the difference between that genuine, other-centered leadership and that self-sacrificial behavior, that self-sacrificial love, in contrast with that behavior that's only concerned for personal gain over the needs of others. So again, we have to see this in the clergy, in our leadership in the church. But again, let's look into our own hearts and see, how are we showing up as leaders in our families, in our communities, in our workplaces, in our friendship groups? Let's really just take that moment to assess where we're at.
Look, I'm not going to lie. Whenever there's a scripture on sheep or shepherds, I always find myself going down this black hole of like researching unnecessary things about sheep and shepherds currently and historically. But today was no different. It's so interesting because, you know, we're talking about shepherds' heaps, and this would have been super familiar in biblical times. Like everyone would have known someone who was a shepherd, like Philip down the road. Oh yeah, he's a shepherd. And the Michael across the road. Yep. He's a shepherd too. Like everyone was a shepherd. You would have known someone by name, who is a shepherd, but for us, perhaps not so much. I mean, I certainly grew up in the city. There's not too many farms around. So sometimes when we think about shepherd or hear reference to that, it's a bit of a novelty for us. But despite that, what I discovered in just unpacking this even for myself is that I think we all actually long for a shepherd in our life. That's a deep desire that we have, you know, someone to lead us, someone to protect us, someone to guide us, because we're a lot like sheep in many ways. We need someone, we need a shepherd to guide us. And it was interesting, I don't know why, but as I was reading this, I was prompted to research what the top Google searches during COVID were. And I found that in March of 2020, so just when COVID hit, Google searches for prayer surged to the highest level ever recorded, which tells me that when all fails, when we realize that we are not in control with things that we thought we're secure in our life, we're no longer there, that when all of that is gone, there is a cry in our heart for a shepherd to lead us, for a shepherd to save us, someone to guide us through a time of chaos. And so I think that really is a longing in all of our hearts, is for a shepherd, is for Jesus to answer this cry of our heart.
And a good shepherd, you know, someone who gives and lays down their lives for others. This is what Jesus is showing us. He's saying, okay, there are several types of shepherds. There are good shepherds, there are bad shepherds, mediocre shepherds. But if you want the measure of all goodness, look at me. He says, this is how I'm going to show you. It's about death. Now, it's about death, laying down your life. But also, people understood that being a shepherd could also have been a death sentence for it was risky. They wouldn't just go and work for the day and come back to five. They used to go out. It was a dry area. Jerusalem was a dry area. So sometimes they had to go out for days, for weeks, and into the wilderness. And we've been to Jerusalem. You see, the wilderness is like serious, scary wilderness. And they would go and where there would be lions and there would be wolves, and they would lay down their lives for these sheep, to the point. Now, these were all hired people. The good shepherds were hired people. The bad shepherds were also hired people. But they'd go out, and it was an eye for an eye. So if my sheep, say I was the owner of the sheep, if I gave you responsibility of my sheep and my sheep died, then you would have to pay for them. And if you couldn't afford to pay for them, then you'd have to pay for it with your life. So in a sense, it was a death sentence. It was a very risky, maybe it paid well, but it was a very risky job. And they would go out and they had to prove if their sheep died, they had to prove that they at least tried to or risk their lives to save them. So they would literally wrestle the lion for the sheep so that they could take at least the feet of the sheep with them so that they could prove that at least they tried to fight to save its life. And again, this is what Jesus is showing us. Hey, I'm the one who fights the lion. I'm the one who's ready to die for you. I'm the one who's ready to be a martyr for you. And this is what you as shepherds need to be. When you're in the seminary, you know, before it was prestigious. Like you became a priest. And like we sponsor, as a ministry, we sponsor seminarians, and it is so difficult. A lot of the seminarians that we sponsor are in Africa or the Philippines and even Thailand. And a lot of these, I have to vet them personally, like, so much, because a lot of these people want to become priests because they have job security and they can pay for their parents for life. They can, but then there are those that are really ready to really lay down their lives. And I think in the Western world, we can see it a little bit more right now, that there's no prestige, that there's no glory. There's only, like, it's almost countercultural. And so I really have a great admiration for the younger seminarians as well. Vocations are increasing at the moment, which is pretty impressive, you know, even in Melbourne, around the world. And it's so crazy because these seminarians are going in knowing that they're going to have to die. They're going to have to lay down their lives. They're going to be spat at. They're going to be disliked. But yet, God's calling remains constant. He calls his shepherds, and he's giving us courage to respond. And good parents, good mothers, good fathers. And yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. I mean, we see it so clearly in the priesthood and what these young men are doing. But the story of the Good Shepherd also shows us how important sacrificial love is in all vocations. So whether you're parents, you're laying down your life for your children, whether you're married, laying down your life for your spouse, if you're single, laying down your life for the community, religious, laying down your life for those who you serve, this Good Shepherd, the fact that he's laying down his life for his sheep, that just gives us the example and the model that we're meant to follow.
I think it's time for another sheep fun fact. What do you guys
think? Let's get into the sheepology.
We need some background music, some sheep music for this sheep facts for the rest of the series. So it turns out that sheep have a very well-developed sense of hearing. So they can capture a wider frequency of sound than humans.
Like dogs, right?
Yeah, I think it is like dogs. Yeah. Is the whistle thing?
Yeah, they hear high pitch and low pitch.
Pretty cool. Animals are cool. But why this was so important and why there's even a point to me mentioning this is because if we rewind back to Jesus' time, time of the shepherds and the sheep, it was really commonplace for them to gather together, particularly, as you said, around water holes. They'd travel for days. They'd gather together. And there were some practical reasons to share resources if they'd been on the road, for safety in numbers. But if, you know, you can imagine, a bunch of sheep, bunch of shepherds, round a watering hole, chaos, smell, noise. Like it wouldn't have been pleasant. It would have been loud. And when the day would come to a close and it would be time for shepherds to regather their sheep and go off for the night, you know, the noise and the chaos would still be there. But what is so interesting is that each of the shepherds would just call out amongst the sheep to their own sheep. And the sheep would hear the voice of all the shepherds, but would follow the voice of their shepherd.
they were familiar with the voice of their shepherd, and they would go to that safe place to sleep.
I just would, like, even as you're saying this, I can imagine, you know, like, I have 100 sheep, you have 100 sheep, they're all mixed amongst each other. Then all of a sudden, the shepherds call and they all, like, this mess, disperse. They all disperse in particular directions. How awesome that.
It's so
that,
cool. Yeah. Like, you'd feel pretty cool as the shepherd, where your sheep know your voice and they, like, come to you. It'd be great. But it just illuminated that verse 14, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. You know, they recognize, do we recognize the voice of Jesus? And for us, I know we're not sheep, but we can act like it sometimes. You know, there's plenty of voices out there competing for our attention every day. Markets, you know, competing for our money, tech and media and on and on and on. But really, I think if we're honest with ourselves, amidst all the voices that are vying for our attention, we know the sound of the voice of truth. We know the sound of the voice of the shepherd, and that's really the voice that we're looking for when we buy into things, when we follow the crowd, perhaps down paths that are not the best for us. Really deep down, what we're looking for is the voice of the shepherd, is the path that will lead us to the deepest value and meaning and purpose in our life. It's just that sometimes we get distracted and we go off. And so it's so important for us to become familiar with what Jesus's voice sounds like. Mm-hmm. And we can read about it and we can know a lot about Jesus, but I don't know about you guys on the couch or even those who are listening. I think I can recognize God's voice if I'm attuned to it enough. Mm. And God's voice never leads me astray. It always leads me to good things. It's quite commanding. It's not a loud voice, mm-hmm. but it's always consistent with truth. It's always consistent with peace. It might ask me to go down a hard path, but it's always the virtuous path. And so I think it's really important for us to be familiar with the voice of our shepherd.
So listen, there's no way you can know the voice of God, of Jesus, if you don't spend time listening to the voice of Jesus. And this is a voice that gives us, like you said, peace. It's a voice that gives us value. It's a voice that also calls us out of darkness, out of like the sheep were enjoying themselves drinking the water, but the shepherd knows better because he sees the context of things. And so how important it is for us, if we want to live a holy life, if we want to live a life in obedience, that we obey the voice of God, even though sometimes we'd rather be sipping by the waterhole with our mates, you know?
Yeah, but all the while it's getting dark outside.
And the wolves are coming.
That's right.
So again, and Jesus is the good shepherd who is ready to protect, even to be disliked by us so that he could protect us.
I just want to bring out a point towards the end of this gospel. Jesus talks about the fact that he has other sheep, that in this translation it was that are not of this sheep pen, but in other translations, I have other sheep that are not part of this fold. And he says they too will be able to recognize my voice as well. And so who is Jesus talking about here? He's talking about future generations of believers. He's talking about the Gentiles. We know that through Jesus's death and resurrection that every single person is invited into relationship with Jesus. They're invited into the flock. And again, this invitation just extends beyond what your background is, where you've come from, how you define yourself. Every single person is invited into that relationship. Which brings us to our interview for this week's episode. Speaking of pilgrimages, we have had the opportunity of meeting this guest a couple of times on pilgrimage in two different countries, once in Israel and once in Portugal. And this week's guest is the lovely Jessica Bond, who some of you might know as the owner and face behind Salt and Gold Collection. Now, Salt and Gold Collection kind of grew once Jess released a few images of Jesus washing feet. And it was about all the different people, the different people from different walks of life, people we might not even suspect to be on that seat, or people that we might suspect as well don't deserve to be on that seat. Jess really challenges us to really lean into this thing that all are invited into a relationship with Jesus. And so we have this interview with Augie and Jessica Bond from Salt and Gold right after this.
In the heart of our ministry lies the generosity of our Icon Ministry partners and donors. It's because of you that our online masses, courses, podcasts, TV programs, school, youth, and parish outreach efforts extend their reach to millions of people worldwide. Your ongoing support allows us to spread the love of Jesus and his message of hope far and wide. please prayerfully consider joining us in this mission, whether through a one-time donation or as an ongoing ministry partner. Your contribution makes a world of difference. Together, let's illuminate every corner of the earth with His love. Visit iconministry.com/support to learn more. Hey everyone, welcome to the Catholic Influencers podcast. We have another super special guest here, Jess Bond. Sorry, I just want to make sure, is that the right way to say
the name?
That's
right, yep. That's great.
Awesome. Yeah, she's just an incredible human being doing a lot of really great work for the church. And so Jess, tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us the short bio of where you come from and I don't know, whatever you feel like is essential.
Yep, great. Okay. G'day. Kia ora. I'm actually a Kiwi from New Zealand.
Nice.
I grew up there my whole life, but I right now live in America. But just to make it more confusing,
my stomping
I actually
ground.
Live in Australia. So I kind of live a bit of everywhere. Most of my family right now is based in Perth, and so that's where I call home. But I have many homes. Like I say, I've got my New Zealand home, I've got my Australia home, and this is my third year in America as well. So I'm a bit all over the place. I'm currently out here because I'm a student in a ministry college. So I'm going to graduate that this coming May, just a few months away, which is crazy. Ooh. And then my whole world's going to change again.
Congrats.
And my background is actually youth ministry. I work for the Archdiocese in New Zealand and also in Perth. And so I just love all things youth ministry. And every time I feel like the Lord, like that season ends, it ends temporarily. And then the Lord's like, here's another open door for that. So now I'm like really nervous to ever say, oh, my season of youth ministry is done. I don't know if you can ever be done with youth ministry. It's, yeah.
It always drags you back some way.
Yeah, it does. It has a hold on me for sure. But a couple of years ago, I started Salt and Gold, which is, I guess, an online creative ministry is maybe the best way to describe it. I create artwork around Jesus, and people see themselves in it. It's Jesus interacting with people like you and me. And that's a book. And, yeah, that's kind of the heart and the brief overview of who Jesus is.
Yeah, beautiful. Awesome. I've come to know who you are through the Salt and Gold collection. And so I'd love to know, what was the origin story of that all coming about and what year did it start and where is it at now?
Yeah, so it started on Valentine's Day 2022. So 2 years ago to the day almost. I love that I have such an easy to remember date for it. It was Valentine's Day because that's really when the Lord moved. I had Salt and Gold started a couple of years before that, and I was investing into that at the same time as still working into ministry. But the Lord really the foot washing series, which is what most people would recognize my artwork from, is that started in. But I call it like the Holy Spirit fell on it because I didn't do anything different to anything that I'd done before. I was still just like creating artwork and sharing it mainly on Instagram. And I didn't do a single thing different, but the Lord in His kindness thought this one needs to get in front of the eyes of a lot of people. And so it went viral. I started out by just creating an image of Jesus washing the feet of a bride. Representing a bride, and that was why it was connected to Valentine's Day and why it's so easy for me to remember when this whole thing kind of started. And so that was the first day, and I just thought I just a few days later had this idea of, man, maybe that's not just a once-off image. And the Lord just showed me so many different people having their feet washed, and I thought, oh, that's going to be quite offensive to a lot of people, honestly, was my first thought.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, Holy Spirit, if that's you, I just want to be obedient and I do what you're asking me to do. So that's kind of the origin of the foot washing series. And anything that I draw, I'm probably drawing because I needed to see it, is the honest, like, truth behind those images. And a lot of them are kind of seem to be held in tension. So you might have a police officer having his feet washed next to a prison inmate having their feet washed. So, yeah. And you wouldn't normally see those two, but I really believe that Jesus does invite all of us to come and sit down and for him to wash our feet. So it can be a little controversial at times.
Gets a little dicey sometimes.
I'll say that again.
It gets a little dicey sometimes.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But, you know, I know, like, I mean, the Icon Ministry team, when I started working here, they already just loved your work and were talking about it. I remember specifically, I don't think I was following your Instagram channel yet, but right when the kind of the conflict between Israel and Palestine broke out, you know, I had a friend who was really, really hurt on one side of the story. And I was really like grieving with that person. And I was just like, man, like, this is so horrible. How could anybody do that? And I actually like reached out to, you know, a priest, and I was just like, what's going on? Like, how are people, like, what is happening? I was really confused with all the details of all of it. And, you know, someone just kind of like sent me that image of you know, Jesus watching the Palestinians' feet, and then the Jesus washing the Israelites' feet. And that just really, like, for me personally, those images are so powerful because it just brought such a level head. I was like really emotional and just kind of like, I don't know, outraged, you know, for my brother who was on the one side. But then it was like, okay, like, as a Christian though, you know, where does Jesus stand? And, you know, I feel like your image said a million words without really saying anything, you know? And it was a really like powerful moment for me that brought a lot of peace, and it gave me a direction forward of, okay, well, this is how I need to operate publicly going forward, is, you know, as Christians, we're just called to love. And you know, just love people. So, you know, I really appreciate you being bold, because I'm sure the backlash is intense.
It can be, you know, and there's like, that's what is, can be a little hard in any kind of sphere. But if we're talking about social media in particular, you know, Jesus is a lion and he is a lamb. Like, he is often, we see aspects of his nature or his ministry that even you can see in scripture seem to be maybe held in tension. It doesn't mean that one is more elevated than the other, or one discounts the other, or that they're even in conflict, but they're definitely held in tension. And so when you get something like a piece where Jesus is washing the feet of people who you wouldn't normally expect, it is focusing on one aspect of Jesus. And he did this. Like, that's the reality, is this is not just like some kind of nice creative idea that a Christian came up with. Like, no, this is gospel. This is Jesus knelt and washed the feet of his disciples, including Judas, who had already sold him out, and Jesus knew that. This is not just Jesus washing the feet of his perfect disciple friends. Like, that's just not the gospel. So, you know, just because we see Jesus washing the feet of, let's say Judas. I'm going to say Judas as an example. That doesn't mean that Jesus is saying, hey, Judas, I love your choices. Or, you know what? Your betrayal, I'm approving of that, or I'm tolerating that. That is not the message. But also, this invitation that Jesus has for all of us, it's not discount. Like, one doesn't erase the other. There's always this tension with the gospel. And so, you can see on my images, and then also some other messages that you would see in the Christian world, where people say, oh, but you said that God is love, but God is actually not. He says that we have to repent in order to receive his love. Or God is not going to wash your feet until you have left your past behind. And I'm thinking, like, none of this is necessarily untrue. Like, Jesus does call us into repentance. He he meets us where we're at. Like if we think about the prodigal son, again, we're going to the gospel. If you think about the prodigal son, he didn't get cleaned up and like fix all of his problems and make some good life choices and then come home. And then the father came to meet him after he got cleaned up. No, the father comes running while he's still covered in filth and embraces him. And it's like that coming home that then he loves us enough to embrace us like this and to welcome us home and say, this is where you belong and love you. But then in the midst of that relationship, then he also says, do you want to get cleaned up? Like, I don't want you to stay like this. I actually have something better for your life. And this is, and so then we, in our free will, God gave us, again, this is almost that could be seen as held in tension. Like, he gives us love, like love and free will. They have to coexist. And so we get this gift of free will to then decide, how am I going to respond to your forgiveness, Jesus? How am I going to respond to your invitation of love? Anyway, so there's a, it's all very like, again, on social media, sometimes we just get like my artwork often, I like to not do too many words with it. I want people to see it and the Lord to speak to them through it. And often people can hear my human words and get caught up on what I've done my best to explain, what I've drawn, but the Lord can speak better is really what I think. But sometimes people can say, oh, she's focusing on one area, but it's not necessarily true because she's missed like, oh, but they should be showing repentance. I'm like, all of it, yes. Do you know what I mean? All of it, yes. But I'm just trying to illustrate one particular area in this moment with this piece of artwork, one aspect of Jesus that doesn't mean the rest of his nature or the rest of his call on our life or his ministry isn't true, but it's all important.
That's it. Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. I want to switch. So you said you're studying over in the States right now. Is it Bethel College or school or?
Yes. Yeah. So it is called Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry in Redding, California.
Yeah. Wow. I wanted to ask, you know, how has it been, you know, just representing or staying true to the Catholic faith while, you know, being in that environment? And what are the conversations that come about? And what have you learned from that experience?
Yeah. Oh, yes. So, again, this is my third year here. I originally came out here for a worship conference in 2015. So that's a long time ago now. It feels like 2 years ago, but really.
I know, it's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I came to Australia in 2016 to do mission work with Youth Mission Team Australia. I don't know if you've ever come across that.
I love it. Yep, yep.
And that's like the start of my whole story. And I'm always like, a couple years ago. But I'm like,
yeah. And then you're like, oh.
Nah, a couple years.
Okay. Yeah. So I came out for a worship school and was like deeply impacted by that. I met the Lord in such a unique way here. I found freedom here from some of my own sin, honestly. I just met the love of and the radical forgiveness and freedom of Jesus here through the worship conference. And I loved hearing the way that the staff in this church spoke with so much honor about, especially I heard all the time from them about Catholic saints. They would quote saints all the time. And I just thought, man, this feels like an environment that I can come to and I could stay like in my home of the Catholic Church but also learn and be in this environment and that has definitely been true. And so I came back in 2019 was my first year at this college and that's full-time ministry, and it doesn't mean that our theology is all the same, but it does mean that we have the same Jesus, and there is so much that I get to learn here. But also it has been an incredible opportunity for the other students and friends around me and even staff who are around me to ask questions and to realize like, oh, maybe I've had some misconceptions about Catholicism, or maybe I often it's maybe my parents had a church wound from the Catholic Church or didn't have a good experience in some way. And so I really don't think that it's a good thing. And some people really honestly just do have some genuine hurts from maybe when they were in high school or something to do with the Catholic Church. And so just getting to minister to them and just say, like, I'm sorry that that was your experience. Something that is so important to me here and has been a big focus, especially the last 2 years of college here, has been around communion. And I think God is doing something universal across the entire church, across all denominations, around the importance of communion. And so that has been mm-hmm. a theme that has come through really strongly here in this church and in our ministry school, is communion. And so I love how many questions I've been asked about, why do you, like, you seem to think that communion is something other than simple. Can you tell me why? Or can I come to Mass with you? Or I want to know why that is so sacred to you. And so those have been some of my favorite conversations, because to me, there is nothing more precious than the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And it's just lights me up to be able to tell people, do you know that he can, you can tangibly receive him, that you can have a real presence encounter with him?
Yeah.
That's, I just love it. So it hasn't come without its challenges. There have been moments where I'm like, wow, I feel like there's some miscommunication happening. And like I say, sometimes people haven't had a great experience of the Catholic Church, and that hurts. But more than anything, it hurts my heart that that's been people's experience, because I want people to come into our Catholic home and to feel like, yeah, I'm safe here. I belong here. Yeah, and so it just hurts my heart to know that there are people out there who that hasn't been their experience. But again, I just love being someone who's able to represent Catholicism to the best of my ability, here, and maybe give people a different experience of what they thought.
Oh, yeah. That's beautiful. Well, where can people find you if they want to, you know, get connected and see your artwork and, you know, follow along on your journey?
Yeah, of course. So the best place, the biggest home that we have, is on Instagram. And so it's at Salt and Gold Collection, all one word.
Beautiful. Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Jess. God bless you and the rest of your studies and your ministry. And thank you for jumping on the podcast.
You're welcome. So great to connect with you.
So grateful for Jess and for her boldness, her courage as well in helping us think and help us understand Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who washes the feet of those sometimes that we're not comfortable to wash, those we're not comfortable to be around. But always, and the washing of the feet, a beautiful symbol. It's a symbol of service, but it's a symbol of cleansing as well, of calling us to repentance, calling us to be like him. Jesus says, after he washes the feet, he says, now go and do the same. Come, love like I love, be like I am. And so we're grateful always for the amazing love and the amazing generosity of our Good Shepherd. We wish you a very wonderful Good Shepherd Sunday as well. It is Good Shepherd Sunday, right?
It is.
It's fourth Sunday of Easter. But also a reminder to join us on pilgrimage. If you want to know more, go to iconministry.com/pilgrimage. But we are still in a buzz. We're still excited about our Meta Saint project. And if you haven't checked that out, go to metasaint.com. We created a church on the metaverse, and that is on the game Roblox as well. So if you have kids, grandkids as well, who are on Roblox, ask them, are you on Roblox? If so, check out Meta Saint. Absolutely free. They can play the game for free. And also, at the same time, hear the gospel message.
And to keep up to date with all things Catholic Influences, make sure you follow us on social media. We are on all the platforms, Facebook, Instagram, X, YouTube, TikTok, all of those links at our website, CatholicInfluencesPodcast.com.
Great. And if you think that we should introduce a sheepology segment every week where I bust out some fun facts about sheep, just let us know down below.
Thank you.
See you next week.
God bless.
Bye. Ciao.
This has been a production of OSV Podcasts. To learn more, visit OSVPodcasts.com.